1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. You can find the English Bible on the page 933 and the Chinese Bible on the 1246. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold your firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you, as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he happened to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormal born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Thank you.
Well, you might like to turn back to the first of those readings from Proverbs, because we're continuing our series in Proverbs this morning, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, please give us your wisdom now. Wisdom to understand your word. Wisdom to know how to respond to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Procrastination. Procrastination is when there's something you need to do, but you put it off till later. I remember when I was at school, we used to have this homework diary that our parents had to look at and sign every week so that they knew what homework we were supposed to be doing. And in year eight, we had a particular teacher who would check our diaries every Friday, and if anyone had forgotten to get their diary signed by their parents, he'd make us get a piece of paper and write out 50 times, "Procrastination is the thief of time." Procrastination is the thief of time. Procrastination is the thief of time. It was an important lesson to learn then, and even more so today. Because today, most of us have a very effective procrastination machine that lives in our pockets. In 2024, the average Aussie spent 3 hours and 10 minutes per day, either on social media or watching TV. And so you do the maths, that's more than 22 hours a week, which means that distracting ourselves has become a significant part-time job. And it means there's a lot of good things that we're not doing because we're stuck in front of our screens. And so perhaps more than any previous generation, we need the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 6. in this passage, we're going to see, first of all, we're going to see that there's something that the young man needs to do. And then we'll see that there's a lesson he can learn if he takes time to observe one of the smallest of God's creatures, the ant. And then we'll finish by thinking about what a new covenant perspective on this chapter looks like. So this chapter starts with a situation, it's a hypothetical situation, where the young man has made a foolish financial decision. Look with me at chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbour, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. Now, the Old Testament law was all in favour of generosity and lending to people in need. What the young man has done here is not wrong, but it is foolish. See, this young man has a friend or a neighbour who wants to borrow money off someone. And so the young man, but to get the loan, the friend has to have some asset, some security to show that it can be paid back. And so the young man has put his own assets as security for his friend's loan. And the idea is that if at any point the friend can't pay back the loan, then the lender will come and knock on the young man's door. It's a foolish thing to do because it means that this young man is at the mercy of his friend's wisdom. If his friend uses the money from the loan foolishly, then the young man's going to end up in trouble. Like, if you want to help a friend in need, there's better ways to do that. There's ways you can help someone in need, but keep control of where your money and your assets go. Maybe the young man found it hard to say no to his friend when his friend asked him. Because we remember being young people, some of you are young people now. And it's especially when you're young, you're often anxious to please your peers. And so what should the young man do now that he's got himself into this situation? Verse 3, so do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you've fallen into your neighbour's hands, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbour no rest, allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself. It's saying, okay, you've got yourself into a bad situation. Don't just close your eyes and hope the problem will go away. You've got to take action. You've got to do whatever you can to sort it out. He's saying, young man, you're responsible for your own life and finances. I mean, this is an important lesson for all of us, especially that we live in a culture of easy debt. Our society kind of runs on debt. Like, how else could you ever buy a house except by taking out a mortgage? But it's easy to get into a cycle of buy now, pay later. And get a loan for this and a credit card for that. And if we're not wise, if we just close our eyes and don't take action, debt can run away beyond our control. And this is a lesson that you can apply more broadly than finances. I mean, is there something that you need to do? Is there something at work? Is there something in your study? Is there something at home? Is there some relationship that needs attention and you've been procrastinating? You've been putting it off? Wisdom is to recognize when there's something you need to do and then to get up and do it. And the next part of the chapter, it addresses the more general issue of not taking action. In verse 6, he calls the young man a sluggard. A sluggard is a lazy person. In Aussie slang, we would call him a bludger. Do you know that word? A bludger. The book of Proverbs has a few funny things to say about the sluggard. For example, in Proverbs chapter 19, a sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he will not even bring it back to his mouth. See, the idea is that people would eat with their hands out of a big dish, and so the sluggard puts his hand in, but can't really be bothered lifting it out again to feed myself. Or Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. I think this is my favourite one, where the sluggard says, I couldn't possibly go out today. Like, you never know. There could be a lion in the street. One of the things we learn about the sluggard is that he doesn't want to get up in the morning. Just like a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns in his bed. There's always one more snooze button. Now, back in our passage, the sluggard can learn two important lessons if he goes and watches an ant and how an ant goes about things. The first lesson is that the ant is self-motivated. Verse 7, it has no commander, no overseer or ruler. No one's looking over the ant's shoulder. And yet an ant gets on with the job. Have you ever sat there and watched an ant and he's like carrying a crumb, which is, you know, as big as the ant, but he's determined to get it all the way back to the nest? I read something written by a biologist that apparently the queen ant, like, she's got a very important role in the nest, but she doesn't give instructions to the worker ants. Apparently, the worker ants actually choose tasks to do, and they communicate with each other, and all together, they're motivated. They get on and do all the tasks. Are you like a worker ant? Or do you need the boss to be in the room telling you what to do next? The prosperity that exists in Australia today is a result of many things, and not all of them are good things. But a significant part of our prosperity is the result of what some people have called the Protestant work ethic. It's this idea that you're self-driven, you have a desire to work, we have a desire to improve ourselves and our families and our nation, because we recognize that work brings glory to God. Does Australia still have this work ethic? In some ways, Aussies are working harder than ever. We're spending more hours in paid work than we used to. And yet, for what goal? Is it that you work all the overtime so that you can retire early, lie on a beach, and be a sluggard? The second thing we can learn from the ant is that the ant knows when to work. Verse 8. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. See, the ant is busy working during the time where there's a whole lot of food lying around ready to be collected. But ants actually hibernate and conserve energy during the winter. That's why you don't see so many around during the cold weather. In the same way, there's a time for us to work hard, and there's also a time to rest. So we've got the creation pattern. 6 days of work, 1 day to rest and to enjoy our Creator. And also in the Old Testament, you've got this calendar of feasts and holidays. There are times during the year to stop and celebrate and enjoy. That means there are seasons to work and there are seasons to refresh. Can I say, you need wisdom to apply this passage. See, it's not that TV and TikTok are necessarily evil. There is a time to unwind. There is a time to relax at the end of the day. Although if it's 3 hours and 10 minutes every day, it seems a bit excessive. Part of the wisdom that we need in applying all Scripture, and I think especially the book of Proverbs, is that you have to know yourself. See, there might be some of you who have a tendency to be a sluggard. And maybe the big take-home for you today might be as simple as, yet I need to know when it's time to get off the couch and to get on with what I need to do. However, there might be some of you who have a tendency to be a workaholic. You're the person who's always trying to optimize your life for maximum productivity, and you're always juggling 15 different things, and it would be unhelpful for you to go home this morning thinking, I just have to sleep less and work more. Maybe you need to recognize when it's the season to be like the ant in winter. And of course, there might be some of you who are limited in your physical capacity. Remember, these are words written to a fit young man. But we go through times in life where our capacity to work changes. We go through illness. We go through times of family crisis. And of course, we slow down with age. And so we need to accept what God gives us in life. And we need to be able to trust God and be content that, we recognize that when it's time to work, we work for His glory, and yet our value to Him is not based on our productivity. So having said all that, for this young man, it's time to work. And wisdom, for him, starts with getting out of bed. Verse 9, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? If you don't take action, poverty will come on you like a thief, scarcity like an armed man. This young man, who, remember, son of Solomon, he needs to learn to live less like a prince and more like an ant. I mean, maybe his reality for now is that he doesn't really have to work in order to eat. But if he wastes his life in bed, if he just gets stuck in this cycle of procrastination, then the people around him are going to fritter away all his wealth. One day he'll wake up and he'll have to try and figure out where all the money went. And so the wisdom of Proverbs is very practical, isn't it? But to get all that we can out of this passage, I think it's helpful for us to think about how this fits into the big picture of the Bible. I mean, Proverbs is written with the assumption, first of all, God is the creator. This is God's world. And right from the beginning, it was good for humanity to get up out of bed and to work the earth. I've also pointed out how Proverbs is written especially to the sons of King Solomon. This is a wisdom designed to be passed down the generations. And of course, we've been following that all the way to Jesus himself, born into that family. Jesus was a wise man. Jesus is the son who truly took in all the lessons of this book. We don't know a lot about Jesus' life as a young man, except that he worked as a builder, which no doubt involved getting out of bed, getting on with his day. But of course, around age 30, Jesus' day-to-day focus changed. He began preaching about the kingdom of God. He began pointing beyond just the creation concerns of work and money. He began pointing to something new that God was bringing into the world. Now, that's because Jesus knew that humanity have got ourselves into a kind of bad debt that we can't repay. Because of our sins, we've already ended up in spiritual poverty. And so that last season of Jesus' life on earth, we find that he was single-minded about sorting out this bad debt. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And when he knew that the time had come, he pushed himself to the point of exhaustion. You remember, while the disciples slumbered, Jesus stayed awake and he prayed in the garden. When they came to arrest Jesus, he was like a bird caught in a trap. And yet, he knew that this was not the time to escape. Instead, he submitted to death to pay that debt so that we can share in the riches of his resurrection life. And so now that Christ has come and done this new work, we're living in a season where he's given us a new task to do. I mean, the creation things of home and employment and managing money, that all continues. But laid on top of them, we have a new task of taking the good news of our wise Saviour to all nations. We live in this time where as the gospel goes out and people believe it, they can be saved, they can have their debt paid. And so the lessons that the ant has to teach us about things like personal finances, we can also apply those same lessons as we try to think through what does it look like to be wise in the work of the gospel. Just like the ant is self-motivated, so we're called to show initiative, to be proactive, to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And yet we believe God is sovereign. We believe that God is calling people to himself. We believe that it doesn't all depend on us. It's his Spirit who converts people. And yet it's not wise to think that God's kingdom will prosper here in Hurstville if we just spend our lives sitting on the couch watching Instagram reels. It's wise to work hard in the gospel. Paul talked about this in our New Testament reading, 1 Corinthians 15. He talked about how hard he worked. And actually, one of the things I thank God for in this church is I look at you and, wow, there are so many of you that get it. Many of you really do give yourselves to the work of the gospel. And so, of course, remember the ant. The ant knows when to work. When I first went into full-time ministry, a friend gave me some really wise advice. He said, Andrew, it's okay to binge on busyness, but if you're finding that busy, busy, busy is your normal life pattern, then maybe you need to do something about that. So what he meant is, okay, there's a youth camp coming up on the weekend. You get it done. Stay up late if you have to. But then afterwards, you need to find a way to move ahead at a sensible pace and have sustainable sleep and rest. They say that in many churches, it's 20% of the people who do 80% of the work. I look around and I reckon we're doing a bit better than that. But if Jesus has called all of his people to be involved in taking his message to all of the world, then perhaps today's passage is a call to some of you to step forward and get involved. There's one thing I want to finish with. As we serve in the work of the gospel, we need to be able to be clear about God's grace. See, I don't want any of you to go home thinking, oh, the message is we just have to try a bit harder. Because whatever we get up and do for Christ, it's never supposed to be just us and our own strength and our own efforts. It's always the grace of God working in us. And that's what Paul says in that reading, 1 Corinthians 15:10. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. If you try to get up and achieve things just in your own strength, you'll find that pretty quickly you're exhausted and all you want to do is stay in bed. I mean, one of the reasons that we get stuck in procrastination is that whatever it is we need to do, it just seems beyond us. It seems overwhelming. I remember the preacher Tim Keller once telling a story about how he got talking to a guy next to him on an aeroplane and asking, well, you know, what do you believe? And the guy said, look, I just believe we're atoms in a random universe, and when we die, that's it. And Tim said to him, hang on a minute, so if there's no God, what makes you get up in the morning? And the guy said, well, I guess I try not to think about it too much. See, without God in your day, it can so easily get overwhelming. Whereas for us, when we think about God's grace, hang on a minute, we've got an almighty God who created us, who loves us, who sent his Son for us. We have a Saviour who died to pay our debt. Our destiny doesn't actually depend on our work, but it depends on his. And he's given us his Holy Spirit, and we can trust his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, and his Holy Spirit is able to accomplish more than we ask or imagine. And so actually, we remember, no, wait a minute, God's grace is with us. We can draw on God's strength. We actually have every reason to get on with things. And so, when there's something that you have to do, learn from the ant. And then look to the Saviour and get out of bed. He's given us every reason to have confidence that in the end, all will be well. Learn from the ant, look to the Saviour, get out of bed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom of your word. We pray that whatever it is that we know that we need to do, that you will give us the strength, that you will give us the motivation to get on and do it. Father, we pray that you will enable us to serve you in our daily work, in the work of the gospel. And we pray that you will be at work through our work so that glory comes to your name and so that many people are saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.